Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. Make sure to visit our website to learn about Pastor's new film, Heart of a Shepherd. This inspiring story of Pastor Salem's life is now available on DVD and online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Heart of a Shepherd is a heartwarming, real-life story and a wonderful way to share the gospel with friends and family that need the Lord. Now sit back and relax as Pastor Salem brings us another message from the incomparable Word of God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just always so happy when you open the doors and take us into your apartment or your house, or some of you into your trucks. We have truckers that write, and we have some who do work on the tractors, and they got these fancy tractors with radios in them. Good grief. When I started out, we had horse and buggy, had horses, harness them and give them some oats and away you go. But things have changed. But wherever you are, thank you for opening the door for us and letting us come in. We're going to be thinking today about the ministry of prayer. And there's a lot of different things to be said about prayer. But so we're going to talk about the ministry of prayer, intercessory prayer. That is praying for other people. And so maybe call a friend, say, tune us in, and they might just get a blessing. We're looking at Psalm 66 today. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee and shall sing to thy name. And so, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can worship you and all over the world. Oh, dear God, we just wish we could see everybody and touch hands and just to give them a hug. And someday we will get to, Lord. We're going to be all in glory. And we're going to see you, and we're going to see all these wonderful people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and aren't we going to have a time? So just thank you that all the hope we have through Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. We pray it in the Savior's name. Amen. Jan is going to sing. She's going to sing a song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And God bless you, Jan.
Oh,
Well, thank you, Jan. And isn't that the gospel truth, that he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords? And though he had ruled all heaven, and though he created all of creation, yet he came and was born of the Virgin and grew to manhood and take as a man and as God combined, took our sins to the cross and paid with his own life the sins that we should have paid for in hell. But he took his hell for us on the cross, and he suffered the terrible agony of dying and carrying our sins. And now when we come to him, though he was dead and raised again, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's our Savior. Oh, it is so wonderful to talk about Jesus. He is so wonderful. Well, we want to share some of the letters. Thank you for writing. We're just so nice to hear from you. And we hear from some of you that accepted the Lord and you want literature, and we send that. Sometimes you have different questions you have, spiritual questions, and we'll help you with that the best we can. And so we just thank you for writing. And then we read these letters, and I get letters that say, oh, we enjoy hearing about the letters. And one lady wrote and said, it's kind of like telling, reporting about the family of God, when you read these letters and we see where they're at and what they're talking about or what their needs are or their experiences, and it draws us together. And so letters are just wonderful. So I want to read some of them now. And you can get your pencil and paper ready, because at the end I'll give you the address, so maybe you could write a letter and send a gift too, of course. Here's a letter from Naples, Florida. My wife and I started watching the Christian Worship Hour 8 years ago, have not missed a Sunday. We are unable to attend our home church for medical reasons, and now the Worship Hour is our church. I can't begin to tell you what your service means to us. God bless you and the staff in God's love. And so now here are these people are shut-ins. And so they won't be able to get out. They can't get around. And so we can worship with them. And that's one thing about the Christian Worship Hour. We have three things in mind. The first goal is to honor Jesus Christ, to honor God. All glory to God. And that's, if we can't do that, we want to close shop and get out of here. And then the second thing is to bring people to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, because if they don't, they're on their way to hell. And that's a terrible place, because Jesus talked about it, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I tremble when I think about it. And we have the answer. We can save you from hell, because we have God's word that we're telling you. We're not doing it ourselves. We're just a mouthpiece. We're just the conduit. And we're telling you that if you'll ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, using your own words in your own ways, just tell Jesus you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And by his blood, he'll wash them all clean. And he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he'll make you a child of God the minute you ask him. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. Right there. We don't wait to get it or hope to get it. He heareth my word and hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're saved and you pass from death unto life. John 5:24, my favorite verse. And so we're happy that we can minister to you dear folks that can't get around. And then we have one from Spearfish, South Dakota, out in the beautiful, beautiful Black Hills. Thank you, loyal servant. You lift up our hearts and faith during our old age years. Bless you. Keep strong with your devotions. And so here's somebody along in years, and they're writing to somebody that's along in years. And so in 95, if you can believe it. I can't believe it, but it got a birth certificate, and there's no arguing with it. And then I got some bones that tell me, you're 95, Buster. And so it's there. But, you know, and so you could tell people, why don't you tune in? They got an old guy over there. He's 95 years old. And just tune in and see if he can make it through a sermon, see? And then they'll tune it in and they'll get saved. And so just tell them that. And they'll say, oh, boy, I never heard of such a thing as that. And then they'll tune us in. So you can help us with this ministry. And so God says, I want you to, he's told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And some of God's people having hard times, really hard times, they need Jesus. And they need assurance. Many of them know Jesus, but they just need assurance. And that's what we're glad to do. Here is Goldsboro, North Carolina. My mother, 86, is watching you now, and she is truly a different person. Thank you, my dear pastor. And so that's what the new birth does. You see, when you're born again, Jesus said you must be born again. And by that he meant you must receive Jesus into your life, and you're born again. That is, you get a new nature. It's the nature of God. And you're created for that. And you're never satisfied until that part of your life is filled with God. And so you have two natures. The old nature wants to sin. And you have the nature of God that wants to live for God. See? And so that's this new nature coming out. And here she says, this mother, 86 years old, different person. Different person because she's got a new nature. And in 2 Corinthians says that when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. But born again, just like being born again. That's what it is. It's a spiritual birth. Let me see. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And this poor, oh, listen to this. I want some peace in my life. And I keep trying to fill my void with alcohol and friends that drink with me. I know the only one who can fill the void and emptiness is the Lord Jesus Christ. I just can't seem to conquer the alcoholism. Please send me a literature and pray for me to get this devil and his demons away from me. Well, I'm going to tell you, all of us all over the world ought to pray for this man. It's a man that's writing. Pray for him. And I'm going to tell you, I sent literature to him already. But I'm going to tell you something. He can beat that liquor or the drugs or the alcoholism. Or anything that you, any sin that you have, you can beat it when you accept Jesus. He gives you help, and he'll help you through any temptation you have. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And God never tempts anybody. The devil tempts us to sin. The devil gives us trials to make Jesus gives us trials to make us stronger. The devil gives us temptations to make us sin, get us to sin. And I don't care what you, if you may be on drugs, I don't care what it is. There are people that can witness to this, that when you have Jesus in your heart, you have strength that you never had before, and you submit to Jesus. Now, I'm not going to say it's not a battle. It's hell on earth to fight some of these things. I've had people tell me that getting off of tobacco was worse than getting off of liquor. And so you can do it with God's help. It's a struggle. And if you fail, ask Jesus to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And supposing you're having a trouble battle with drugs and you get back on them, or liquor, well, I don't know what it is. You ask him to forgive you and get up and try it again and never give up, and you can beat the day. And I sent some literature. I'll be glad anybody else wants to write in. We're glad to help you. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. There's hope. There's hope. There's nobody that's hopeless. There's nobody that's gone too far. Except when you cross death. When you cross death, when you die, no more mercy, no more love, no more second chance. If you're not born again, you'll never get born again. It's all done. It's got to be settled in this life, and that's why you need to do it today. Pray that prayer right now. God will let it. Maybe I think God is going to read it here in a minute. I don't know. But as a lady accepted the Lord right during the service, prayed with me, prayed that prayer. Here's Watertown, South Dakota. Thank you for helping to save my husband with your message on TV. The Lord has touched his heart, made him a good and thankful man. My parents watched you in the nursing home. You touch many in the nursing homes across the United States and the world. And so, I've said it so many times. One thing we want to do is want to help the shut-ins and the older people, the people having trouble. We're what Jesus said, God said, he told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And so that means we encourage them. And you know I like to give them Isaiah 46, verse 4. Listen to this. If you're old and you know you're not very popular when you're old, you know, get that old guy off the driver. I drive my car yet. And if I sneeze, I'm afraid they're going to take my license away from me. Boy, I just drive it as careful as I can because I'm old. Young person has an accident. They said, well, be careful next time, Sonny, and here, go on, drive on home. But me, give me your license, see. So I'm just scared to death. And here's what God says to old people. All you old people, listen in. Even to your old age, I'm he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. He doesn't carry just the lambs. He carries the old people. See? Even to your old age, I'm he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and deliver you. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Look it up. Hope for the old. And all of you people, I got a letter saying, I never heard anybody pray for the old people in the shut-ins except your program. Well, you hear from it plenty here because I'm old and I have them on my heart and I pray for them and I want to comfort them. Here's Brooklyn, New York. Greetings, Christian greetings to you and your family. I watch every Sunday on Daystar. I want to personally say that your words have encouraged me when I've been feeling down and overwhelmed. Your ministry is uplifted. Blessed be God's holy name because Jesus first loved us. And oh, yes, that's exactly right. And we just pray for these people. And God will give us strength. He'll give us help. Lean on Jesus underneath of the everlasting arms. Hamilton, Minnesota. Oh, yeah, this is the one I was thinking about. Said, I did say a prayer asking Jesus to come into my heart. Would enjoy learning more in layman's terms. Could you please send me those brochures you spoke of? A work in progress. A work in progress. That's exactly right. Now, what we do is, if you've accepted the Lord and you write in, we send you a Billy Graham packet like he gives out at the Crusades to people who accept the Lord. And it gets you started in the Christian life. We do it free and postpaid. We're really good people. We're so big-hearted, we're going to go broke. But when we bought broke and we didn't, here it comes in, get some more. God lays it on the hearts. You know, we don't have any income except from God's people. We're not underwritten by any corporation. Any corporation or a denomination or anyone else. It's just God's people. And we said, we need some help. And then says God, he'll talk to his people all over the world. We get money from all over the world. And the Holy Spirit will say, you need to help them. Need to help them. Loosen up. Help them out. And so just pray about it. Do what the Lord says. One more I want to share. And this is from Roton, Texas. Oh, yeah, here. I said the sinner prayer with the pastor on the TV. That's the one I was thinking about. I said the sinner's prayer with the pastor on TV. It has been a great experience. Please continue to pray for me and my family. And so that what I do, I might just start them right off before the invocation. I don't know, whenever the Lord just says, tell them. And I'll tell you several times during the service what you do. You just pray the sinner's prayer. And you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me for my sins. and I love you, and I'll serve you the best I can, and then thank him for saving you. And then get up, and if you don't have anything to read, read the Gospel of John. Get your Bible, read the Gospel of John, and then we'll send you literature. Oh, I love to preach because it's good news, and you can find Jesus, and you can find hope, and you can find heaven. So if you want to help us, now if you accepted the Lord and you need the information, yeah, I'm going to give you the address now. And if you want to help us financially, just say, dear Lord, should I help this organization or not? Is this ministry or should I give it somewhere else? There are other good ministries. We're not the only one. But we have to have somebody help us. And so say, what should I do? And he'll say, he'll tell you, you'll just know. I ought to, or no, I'll give it someplace else. And then you say, he'll say, oh, I think he wants me. How much should I give, Lord? And he said, oh, my, you mean that much? I don't know what he'll say, but just ask him. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Or you can write to us at ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send it over the internet under donate, PayPal, or any other credit card. You can send it. We'll get it in American cash, and we'll pay our bills. And as soon as we get a little extra money, we take on another station. That's what we've been doing for 38 years, and God hasn't let us down a single time. And when he's done with our ministry, the funds will dry up and we'll go fishing or something like that. I won't go very far at my age, but some of these young men is helping us here. Boy, they golf, and oh, I don't know how they golf. I never could get into that, but they golf and they do everything. That's nice. That's good, you know, everything above board, of course. But anyway, you write to us. Now, if you want to know how we handle the money, we're a member of the international organization, and it's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, every penny we get and every penny we spend. And we are a member of that in good standing. And we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we'll use that money exactly as we say. And then one other thing quickly, if you want a little Bible study, we have the new song. And you write to us on the Christian Worship Hour, the new song. And it has excerpts from letters, and it has a sermon topic, and it has a text, and it's got so much good things in it, we should charge. But no, we're really good people. We'll just keep giving things away till we go broke. And so we'll just send it free and postpaid. And those of you, I'm going to repeat it again, for those on shortwave radio all over the world, Christian Worship Hour, just remember the box, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. You give as the Lord lays on your heart, and we'll have everything he wants us to have. Dear Lord, thank you for speaking through your people. Thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be talking about prayer, intercessory prayer, praying for other people. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. Every week, every service, we pray for our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the persecuted church someplace on this earth. And the devil attacking the church. But you always want to remember, Jesus says the gates of hell will never prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. It'll be here a long time after Satan is gone and in the lake of fire. It'll stand forever. It's the body of Christ. But in the meantime, the suffering is real. It's human flesh, the suffering for Jesus. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. And pray for each one of them, all of them, oh God. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, your wonderful Savior who came and not only saved us and helped us, but he teaches us how to pray. And today we're going to be thinking about praying for others. And oh, what a ministry that is. And I just pray, Lord, that all of us will be people of prayer. And if the people don't know how to pray, dear Lord, I just pray that they'll just say, "Oh God, I'm a lost sinner. I don't know you, Jesus." And have them open their heart to you, and then they can talk to the Father. And then we pray in today, Lord, for the persecuted church all over the world. How many are suffering? How many are dying? Oh, our heart aches. And we pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. And they've had so many struggles over the years, and so many have died, and so many are displaced. And now, Lord, the enemy seems stronger than ever. And many of them have to leave their homes, and many homes are broken up, and the children don't know where the parents are, and the parents can't find the children, and they can't find mother, they can't find dad, and they're scattered all over. And, oh, Jesus, just wish you would come and put an end to this mess. And yet you have a reason for waiting, and so we accept that, and we don't complain about it, but we're anxious to see you and comfort these people and help them to know that you are there with them. It may not seem that you are there. Maybe things are happening and they wonder, where is God? And help them to realize that you will never leave them or forsake them. And even though they're in the storm, you are there in the storm with them, walking on the water, right by their side, never a hand's breadth away. And so encourage them. Encourage all of us, Lord, to love you and serve you. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Hank's going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And God bless you, Hank.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Always only for my King. Yeah. Oh, take me. Yeah. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy. Take my will, Lord. Let it be. Consecrated, Lord, unto Thee. Take my moments. Take my days. Let them flow.
Thank you, Hank. And you know, that's every Christian's prayer. As God will take our life and consecrate our life to Jesus Christ. And when we give our life to lose our life in Jesus, we find it. And we don't live until Christ is the Lord of our life. We may think we're living with all the fancy things we have and money to spend and things to do and go, but there's no real lasting joy unless we have you, dear Lord. And may that be our prayer for every one of us. Well, we're going to talk about prayer today, friends. And you know, there's different kinds of prayer in the Bible. For instance, there's the prayer of praise, where we praise God. And there's a prayer of adoration, where we adore God and just worship God. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. We're thankful to God for all that He's done for us. There's the prayer of supplication, where we're asking God for things, and we're foolish if we don't ask God for things that we need. But we want to talk about a different one, the prayer of intercession, called intercessory prayer. And all in the world it simply means is we're going to pray for others. Pray for others. In the English word intercession, it comes from Latin intercedo, and it means to go or pass between. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so he's talking about how that we need to be having a prayer of intercession. There's different kinds of prayers, but intercession where we pray for others. And it is a wonderful ministry, and it's a ministry that you can carry on all by yourself, or you can carry it on with others. Maybe you have a friend or two, maybe a different group, maybe a whole church will gather. Like, do you remember when Peter was in prison, they had intercessory prayer for Peter, and he was set free. The whole church prayed. And so this wonderful prayer, intercession. And so maybe you're a person you can't get around anymore. Maybe you're a shut-in and you can't just do a thing. And so you can just be an intercessory prayer and pray for different people and have a little list. Make a little list, or maybe keep it in your heart. I have to write it down. And some I pray for every day. Some I don't pray for maybe other once a week or something. But you write it down, and oh my goodness, if somebody says, will you pray for me? And you say, yeah, I'll pray. I've done it myself. Yeah, I'll pray. And then I forget. Write it down. If you're asking for prayer, write it down and pray. So anyway, when we come to this, we'll see that intercessory prayer must always be ended with the phrase, thy will be done. When we're praying for something and we're interceding for somebody, we always pray, "Thy will be done." Now, the only instance, the only exception for that is when you're praying for somebody that's not saved. You don't need to pray for "Thy will be done," because we're told in the Scriptures that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We know God wants everybody in the world to be saved. And so you don't need to pray, "Thy will be done." But when we pray for other things, we're praying, maybe we're praying for their health, and maybe God's going to take them home. Maybe they have to be on a bed of sickness, and God is dealing with them and talking with them. So intercede for these people, and when they ask you to pray for them, and you say that you will, mark it down. But always, every prayer we pray ought to be, "Thy will be done, not my will." Because we can see only this little circle, this little time we have on earth. How many years? 70 years we're supposed to get? 70 years, and maybe you'll get 95. Lord have mercy, but I'm not complaining. I'm happy that I can preach. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but we just have a certain circle. God sees all eternity, how it affects eternity. We can't possibly see that. And so just pray and intercede, but always, "Thy will be done." There's an example that we want to use today where we have intercessory prayer. And Jesus did that. He prayed and intercedes for us in heaven right now. But when he was here on earth, he prayed. And there is a place where he prays. He has an intercessory prayer for Peter. Listen to what Jesus said. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus says, but I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren." Luke chapter 22. Now look at this for a minute. The devil wants Simon. The devil wants Simon. Jesus wants Simon. The devil wants you. The devil and Jesus wants you. And so the devil is asking Jesus for Simon, that he might sift him like wheat. Now, what does that mean? Well, sift him like wheat means it's the same thing that happened to Job. The devil wants to test Job and destroy him. Now, the house wants to test Simon Peter and destroy him. Test him for what? Test him to see if he is genuine. Test him to see if he's a hypocrite. Test him to see if he really has faith. Test him, see if he's a pretender. Talk is cheap. And so the testing comes. Satan wants to sift him. He wants Peter to put him in a sieve. And he wants to separate the chaff from the wheat. And he wants to show that Simon isn't wheat, he's chaff. And he's going to fail. And so remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? They both looked alike until the harvest. And when the harvest time came and the sifting time came, then the tares and the wheat were separated. Remember Psalms 1, verse 4, "The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." They weren't wheat, they were chaff, because they had no substance, they had no faith, they didn't belong to God. So the devil is asking Jesus for permission to test Peter. That is, to put him through the sieve to see if he's genuine or not. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. The devil has to get permission from Jesus in order to test Peter. Don't ever forget that. His hands are tied. He's on a leash. And he has to get permission. And the devil has been asking permission to deal with Peter. 1,500 years before this, devil asked permission to test Job. And God says, "You can test him, but you can't touch him." And then he came back and he says, "All right," God says, "you can test him, but you can't take his life. He's on a leash. He can't do anything to you or to me," to the Christian, that God doesn't allow. And God allows it for a purpose. And so you may be going through some fiery trials today. It might be just behind the scenes that Jesus given the old devil a chance to afflict you so that he may prove that you are genuine. And like Job, you'll come out as fine gold. Gold is tested and tried and is fine. But the point is, nothing comes into your life that Jesus doesn't allow it. Always keep that in mind. Not one drop of hair, one piece of hair will go from your head, not one breath, but what God allows it. And so the test is given, and the devil comes with his sieve, and he gives the test. And you know what? Peter stands. Peter is genuine. Peter is wheat. Wheat. Peter sinned grievously. I know he did. I all know all about it. He sinned grievously, but his faith didn't fail. Jesus Simon's love did not fail. When Simon denied the Lord Jesus, neither his faith nor his love failed him. What did fail him then? I'll tell you what failed him. Hope failed him. He saw Jesus die. He's going to die, and that's why he thought he had no hope. And when you don't have hope, you don't have courage. And so there he sees him. And Peter, remember this, Peter always had his faith. He denied him. He failed that way. He always had his faith and he's always had his love. So he proved the test and he stood true. So Jesus tells Peter, Simon, behold, Satan hath obtained you by asking that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for you. I made intercession for you that thy faith faileth not. And then look what Jesus says in the same breath. And when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. Look at here. Jesus is saying, Peter, Satan wants to destroy you. But Peter, I'm interceding for you. I'm praying for you. You're going to fail me, Peter. You're going to fail me terribly. But Peter, I know you're going to fail. I know all about it. And I love you. And I know you're going to curse. And I know you're going to fall down like that. But you're not going to go down. You're not going to be lost. Your faith is going to hold. Your love is going to hold. And you go through all of that. And when the sifting is over and the testing is over and the denying is over and the cursing is over and the weeping is over, after that, Jesus says, Peter, I want you to go and preach to your brethren. I'm commissioning you. You're my pastor. I'm using you, Peter. I'm not throwing you away. I'm not discarding you because you love me and you believe me and your faith is there and I need you. You see what he's saying? He says Jesus knows that Peter's going to sin. And long before he knew it, nonetheless, Jesus prays and intercedes for Peter. And Jesus knows that Peter believes in him. And Jesus is going to love him even when he sins. When he fails, he loves him because he knows in his heart that he's true and has that faith and that love. Here he believes in me. And when I sin, if I repent of my sin, I can be just like Peter and turn back my back on my sins and forsake my sins. And I can have that fellowship restored and I can labor on for him even though I may fail, feel bad. Now, does that sound impossible? I sin against God. I deny Jesus. I deny him cursing, I forsake him, and he forgives me when I repent, and he puts me back into his service. Does that sound impossible? Well, I tell you, if you cannot imagine such a thing, if you cannot swallow such a thing, if you cannot believe such a thing, it is because you don't know the grace of God. That's why you stumble over it. You don't know the grace of God. You know, because it's all tied up. You're all tied up in good works, and you're thinking about good works and self-righteousness and legalism and all of these other things. You would make a very good Pharisee. And if you could find the Pharisee church, you'd be a good member, because that's where you belong. and you don't know what the grace of God is because you've never experienced it. But just remember in 2 Corinthians 2:9, just remember the words of Jesus to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Remembers Romans 5:20. Listen to this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our sins. The grace is sufficient to kill. You will never understand that. You will never believe that until you experience the grace of God yourself. Then it'll start to shine through and come through. So today, right now, dear friends, Jesus is interceding for you and for me, just as he did for Simon. And he will bless and help us if we're honest and genuine. He will keep us safe and he'll get us through the battles and trials and temptations of life. But they're going to come to all of us, and he's going to take care of us until we come to that celestial city called the New Jerusalem, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, all the way. I'm never going to be lost. I'm never going to be lost because God has paid for those sins. Jesus paid for those sins. And I'm going to have fellowship even after I sin because I confess my sins and I ask Jesus to forgive me. And how many times will we forgive me? He'll forgive me 7 times 70. No end to the forgiveness of God. And we got this letter from this fellow on drugs. No liquor, I guess it was. Alcoholism. And you may stumble 12 times. But you ask for forgiveness and you get back up. And you walk with God and you give your life to Christ anew. And he will forgive you and he will love you. You see, Jesus is your high priest. When we accept Jesus Christ, he is our high priest. He is in heaven. He intercedes for us always because he is eternal. He is there forever. These priests they had on earth, they'd intercede for these people, then they die. Then they had to get another priest, and then he'd die, and they couldn't intercede. Well, what do we have? Look at here, Hebrews 7:25. He holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Jesus will never die. We'll always have that priest, high priest, interceding for us. So this wonderful lesson, Jesus is our high priest forever. And he is going to be with us, and it's permanent. He will never die, and he will continue forever. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is in that place not made with hands. So you don't put your trust in spiritual life in anything made with hands. Solomon's temple was made with hands. And the Babylonians decimated the place. And Herod built his temple with hands. And Romans came in 70 AD and they leveled it and they tore it down. Don't trust in things that made with hands. Your good works and your baptism and your legalism and all of the rest of it. It is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And that wonderful priest intercedes for his people. And when we fail as Peter failed, he loves us still. And he intercedes for us, and he'll see us through. We'll never be lost as long as he intercedes for us. So the Apostle John puts it like this in the 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The aim and the goal of every believer is to live a sinless, perfect life. That's my goal, and I never make it. And I'll never make it in this life, but that's my goal, to be just like Jesus. But I'm never going to be just like Jesus till I get to heaven. But I'll get there, and then I'll have his righteousness. And when I stand at the pearly gates and they say, should I let you in? They'll take a look at me and they'll see. They won't see me. They'll see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus Christ was crucified and he had that gown, it was woven without seam. And so the soldiers gambled for that gown. And one of those centurions, dirty and bloody and wicked, put on that robe. He had come to the cross and he put on that robe and he walked away in the robe of Jesus Christ that he wore. And so when I went to the cross, Jesus Christ took me and he washed away my sins and he clothed me with that robe. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to stand in that robe of righteousness, and so will you if you have Jesus. But you got to have Jesus. And you don't have Jesus until you come to him and ask him to take away your sins. And you need to be sure that, you know, you see people, some people say, well, I don't know if I said the right thing. I don't know if I really believed enough. I don't know if how much I got a letter, how much faith do I have to have? And Jesus says, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, you can have faith. Just take that little faith. And God gives every man a measure of faith so you can believe if you want to. And so he tells us in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it. I preach it the best way I could. You say you didn't do very good. You made 3 grammatical errors. Well, if you check it, I made a lot more than that, Buster. But I've given you the word, and you know the word. He that heareth my word, you've heard it, you got it. And he says, whoever heareth my word and believeth on him, so you have to believe. And it's all up to you. Your wife can't do it, your neighbor can't do it, nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. You don't guess if you get to heaven. My dear old grandmother, I'd say, Grandma, I'll see you in heaven. She says, I hope so. She never had that real assurance. You have everlasting life. And then Jesus didn't want to be misunderstood. And he says, you have everlasting life and you won't go to hell. You won't come into condemnation. You won't have eternal. You won't have eternal condemnation. But he says, because you passed from death, you were dead in sins. Under life, you have eternal life, and you're never going to be lost. I hope that you'll pray that prayer, dear friend. That's the reason of the Christian Worship Hour. We have 3 things in mind to bring glory to God. In our own plain way, we're just everyday people. And just we put our pants on one leg at a time, just like anybody else. And here we are preaching the wonderful word. And he says, if you'll accept me, if you put your faith in me, I'll give you everlasting life. And we're praying that you'll do it. Now, if you did that, you write to us and we'll send you literature. And I'll tell you what we'll send you. We'll send you the packet that Billy Graham gives out at the Crusades for people that come to Jesus. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002, 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. Now, when you write to us, maybe you want to help us with the work. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we have to pay it in cash, and we want to pay it on time. And so whenever we get a little extra money, then we take another station. And we pass it on. And we are a member of what you call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And brother, nothing gets by them. They just watch us like a hawk. And they can't find a thing because we're clean as clean can be. And so if you send $1, $1 will go into the work. And our overhead is very, very low. It's way under 10%. And that's unbelievable. And if you want a record of it, you will write to us. We'll send it to you. And if you want to get our little booklet, the new song, it's a little paper, the new song, it's a Bible study. And this week it's about the gifts of Christmas, the gifts that God is giving us. And so write to us and we'll send you that. We'll send it free and postpaid. I know that you'll love it. So now we want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the privilege of preaching the gospel. Thank you for all of the wonderful people that have opened their doors and opened their hearts. And Lord, I just believe there are multitudes of people all around the world, all over the world, and they're opening their heart and they're being born again and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we're going to see them again. And won't that be something? And so, dear Jesus, I just pray that you'll come, that you'll help them many to come to you. And I pray for the sick, and I pray for the afflicted, and I pray for the young people struggling and having hard decisions. I pray for those who are addicted to some disease or some of these sinful things going about. I pray for those who are selfish and self-centered and proud and arrogant and profane. Oh God, you love them all. You're not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. God Almighty, may there be multitudes come to the throne of grace. We'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you for being with us today. It's just so good that you opened your door for us. And I hope that you'll pray for us and pray for all these people that heard the message. Hope you'll write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. You got it right there. And help us out. We need your help. And then we'll just keep on going. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be back. So get ready and get your Bibles. I know some of you get your Bibles and sit there and read them with us. Get ready. We'll be back, Lord willing, next week.
Thank you for watching the Christian Worship Hour. Please visit our website at christianworshiphour.com to learn more about Heart of a Shepherd, the amazing new film about Pastor Salem's life and ministry. We believe you will be blessed and encouraged by Heart of a Shepherd. Because of our faithful supporters, this soul-winning film can now be shared with people around the world. May God richly bless you for your love and support of the ministry. Join us again next week for the Christian Worship Hour.